The reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, and it's Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, and it's called The Calling of the First Disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Well, Mark 1, 14 to 20, just a short little passage there. I could have actually added in the calling in John's Gospel. It has the little part in there as well, where a couple of the disciples are called there. Nathaniel is one of them, or Bartholomew, depending on which Gospel you want to grab him from. But it's interesting how the gospel changes our lives and how it shapes us. You know, each year there's a different gospel focus for us in the church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then around the holy seasons of Easter and Christmas, some of the John passages come up. And as we go into it, there's some new changes and challenges for each one of us. There's some new directions for each one of us. And there's some new excitements. And the season we were in 3 years ago is a totally different season to what we're in today. Totally different. And the gospel, though, will speak beautifully, even into this new season that we're in today. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, though? I mean, I've always got that little lame one that I always throw up, let's lose weight or let's get fit, something like that, anyway. But there's one that I've held for the past number of years, and it's this: follow God's call as unprepared as you think you are. Follow God's call as unprepared as you think you are. Oh, God will prepare someone, sometimes prepare us perfectly, but we might not think we're prepared yet. This passage today is the start of a new era of Christ in ministry and mission. The passage asks us some deep questions, and some of them are going to be these questions. What's your current role or call? What's your current role or call in life that God has asked of you? What are you preparing ministry for into the future? And who are you preparing ministry for into the future? See, you don't just keep doing your ministry for the sake of you. You've actually got to prepare it for other people, like John the Baptist did. And who are you following? And from how? And how is it all going? And what equipping is required for us individually, but corporately as a church, to be better ministers of God in this community? Well, Mark starts his gospel, doesn't he, with John baptizes, passes the baton to Jesus, who then starts using John's phrase. Straight away, John, you have a great phrase. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And Jesus has now got the phrase. He's passed the baton and off he goes, and this is what he's doing. Surprisingly, I think it's probably the similar message that the disciples used when they took over the baton at the end of this whole gospel, and they become the ministers of God's beautiful word to the early church. I preached on Christmas what it would be like to start something new, and how possibly we wouldn't use the same methodology of God, but we'd try and make everything beautiful. But in Jesus' words, He's starting something new. His ministry, he's going from being his growing up self, he's going from being his, I'd say even semi-unempowered self, the person who is just growing into his manhood, growing into his ministry, and then all of a sudden he notes the time has come. It is now the time has come. This new era has to begin. And I think this, I think the implicit in this statement is not only the starting of something new, but the conclusion of something old. He is putting his old life behind him and taking on this new call into his ministry. You remember I always say that there's those seven deadly words that'll kill a church. We've always done it that way. And I think that Jesus is actually saying, the time has come. What's been done is no more. And there is a new time of a new era coming in. And I think our church is really good at it. We don't get caught up and we don't get stuck doing things. We've always done it that way. I know there's a few things which we do that have probably been around for a lot longer, but we're still trying to be as relevant and as connected to our local community and as relevant to 2024 as we can be. You'll find if you come to my church that I don't do structured liturgy very often at all. In fact, you'll find that we pray from our hearts. We don't just read a prayer that's up on a screen. We don't do call and response. That's not our flavour. And we sing songs that are contemporary, just like you do online here. I have four contemporary songs a week and one traditional hymn. I think that's a beautiful mix. And if you come on a kids' Sunday, then you're going to get a kids' song and three contemporary songs and a hymn. It just makes sense, doesn't it? Because we're trying to be inclusive and relevant to the society that's around us. Well, John has prepared Jesus' call and prepared people for Jesus' coming. And John has laid a foundation and he's passing the baton. John in the other disciples actually has disciples, in the other gospels has disciples. Jesus also notes that the kingdom of God has come near. And then when he goes out, he sees Simon Andrew and says, come and follow me. James and John, come and follow me. And they leave their family business. And they leave their fathers with the hired help. And it says that. They leave their father with the hired help. So they leave their family business. They leave their lifestyle. They leave everything to come and follow. John wanted the best start for Jesus' ministry. And so he did what God called him to do to prepare the way. This is not unique in how God works in our world, as we all have different callings on our lives and different gifts and talents to bring to the table. But you need to make sure that you're doing what you're meant to do at the time when God wants it done. There's nothing wrong with the visionary saying, oh, the church needs to be here in this place. But that may actually need a few other seasons to have come and gone first. Let me give you an example. Take King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. They're a great little example. Saul united the nation. David built up the kingdom and established the rule of Jerusalem and the rule of the rule of the whole thing. But David really, really wanted to build a temple. But God said, that's not your gig. Solomon, however, built the temple. So each one of them had very distinctive things that they had to do. And in doing so, it created the nation and did a beautiful job about it. Had Saul wanted to build the temple, there would have been problems. It wouldn't have worked, and they couldn't have got... The people were not united enough to have actually come together and do that. There were 12 tribes who really didn't care much for each other sometimes. See, we need to know and respect what our call is and not to try and do what's not ours. And because if we do, it's just going to frustrate us and not feed us. If you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be led, fed, and not bled. But if you don't, then you're just going to be bled. And it just really is not good for your Christian work. Remember my New Year's resolution? Follow God's call as unprepared as you think you are. Follow. You know, that's not our desire. No, it's not our will. It's not our way. But it's our responsiveness to God's call. Follow God's call. See, God stands in front of us often calling us forward. And so often we try and sidestep where God has placed himself and wants us to be with him. Sometimes we try and think that our best judgment and our keen skills and our willingness is good. And then we actually realize it's not our best judgment. It's not our keen skills and it's not our willingness. It's actually God's almighty will himself that makes ministry great, that makes ministry blossom. I might be gifted and skilled as a preacher. I might be gifted and skilled in music, but it doesn't always mean that I'm gifted and skilled to be a minister in a church. And I'm not saying I'm not, but I do know that some people are gifted musicians and some people are gifted preachers, but they're not gifted in leading churches. And that's okay. A lot of them have worked that out and they do magnificent ministry in the way in which they're called to be in God's service. And as unprepared as you think you are, you know, this is the greatest hurdle for us to get over. Our own mental ability to acknowledge love and accept that God knows how best we can flourish and trust him. You know what? There's so many people who have a whole heap of, I cannot do that. That's not my skill set. Nick, I cannot do this. Surely God wouldn't want me there. You know, my answer to every I cannot, when people are trying to argue their way out of doing ministry and mission, one word, fishermen. The disciples today were fishermen. They were trained fishermen. They were qualified fishermen. They were good fishermen. But they were fishermen. They were not leaders of the church. They were not trained rabbinically. They were not the ones you would have picked. But when the door was presented, they went and tried the door and they opened it. See, this is the thing. I actually think too many people never try and open the doors enough in the church in the areas of ministry and mission. We just open the safe doors. Oh, I attend this church, so maybe I'll get onto the Bible reading roster and that's a really good mission work that I have. Really? Nah. But that's safe, isn't it? Ministry can be disruptive and take you out of your knowledgeable safe zone. Oh, fishermen. Ministry can be disruptive and take you out of your knowledgeable safe zones. Fishermen. I remember someone at my church many years ago telling me they were ready when a Sunday school restarted at the church. They'd been ready for 20 years, Nick. 20 years I've been ready. And yet when the opportunity arose later, they explained, oh no, sorry, I'm now too old and won't be able to do it. It's easy to avoid ministry, isn't it? It's easy. I was actually quite sad when the person did that because I then reminded them that you'd kept telling me you were ready for 20 years and now you have the opportunity. Oh no, I'm too old. I'm too old for that. It's easy to avoid ministry. We've all got a good excuse, but God doesn't call for excuses. He calls for fishermen. That's right, fishermen. He calls you to be fishermen because stepping out from being a fisherman and becoming a church leader is probably the most bizarre change of occupation or vocation ever. Simon, Andrew, James and John, fishermen. He came, he called, they followed. Not rabbis, not students of theology, not temple workers, fishermen. This was their call, livelihood being a fisherman. And an inheritance, and they left their father's inheritance, their father, with the hired help, and followed Jesus. They left their inheritance behind. See, you sometimes need to understand how young Jewish boys were brought up and trained. A young Jewish boy went to learn the way at the age of 5, and by 9 most had been cut as they were not the best of the best. And by 15 they were down to the last couple of books to learn. And then, if they were the best of the best, the rabbis would come to them and test them. And if they had the same passions, interpretations, and saw potential in them, they would say, come and follow me. Lek arachne, be my disciple. Come and follow me, be my disciple. Not to fishermen, though. Not to fishermen. But Jesus came and called fishermen. Jesus did it differently because he didn't come for the religious few. He came for the world. So here's a new year and a refreshed call for each one of us. And here we are at the start of the book of Mark. First up is Jesus accepting the commission by his father. Then is the call of the disciples. And so what is your call this year? In the areas of ministry, mission, evangelism, pastoral care, leadership and connecting. What is your call? Because God calls us from all places and all different occupations to come and serve, come and love, come and give, come and be part of it, come and find purpose and meaning. God loves calling to each and every person, no matter what their history or background. All are precious and potent in his sight. Yep, potent. You and me. You know why we're potent? Because when he calls you and me, and we respond, the Holy Spirit is equipping us for all good works and all good things. It's just a beautiful thing. You know, Hebrews 13:20-21 says this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yep. Hebrews 13. What a great, wonderful commissioning and empowering passage, that he would equip us for every good work. The example we see from this story in Mark today is it's at the start of the training and the equipping for ministry for these disciples. And from the outset, Jesus has proved he has actually gone to get people who are totally ill-equipped, unequipped, totally out of their depth, and he equips them. Does he equip them by putting them into a school for the next 3 years? Not the school that we would go to. He equips them by showing them the love of God, the compassion of God, the heart God has, and the way in which he steps through the brokenness of the world. From the outset, they are engaged as Jesus heals, casts out demons, forgives, teaches, heals, loves, and restores, and so much more. From the start to the end, they were faithful to their call. You know, it doesn't say that Jesus called 12 and then had to go and call a few extra because a couple dropped off along the way. They all stayed from different occupations. This didn't mean, though, that they didn't have some doubts, challenges, maybe, or maybe some pushbacks. They did, but they followed. And our journey with Mark will show us their failings, their epiphanies, their triumphs and growth. And I hope we all get a bit of this washing off onto us as well as we start this year. See, because the call is to come and follow Jesus again and again and again. And as we follow Jesus, our catch cry should be, come and see the one who knows all about me, who loves me unconditionally, who places me, a purpose and a plan in the heart of my life. Come and follow with me, Jesus, God's Son. Amen. Have a blessed day.